right. Good morning, everyone. I'll call the Conference Committee of HB 75 to order. It's Wednesday, April 13th, 2016. It is 8:37 a.m. We are in the Groomberg Committee Room in the Capitol, Room 120. Present today are Representative Millett, Representative Drummond, and Representative Tilton from the House side, and Co-Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members from the present from the Senate today are Senators Hoffman, Senators McGuire, and myself, Senator Bishop.
Thank you. This conference committee is operating under Uniform Rule Number 42. Public testimony will not be taken. Adoption of the conference committee report requires an affirmative vote by the majority of the memberships from each House, and two versions of the bill are before the conference committee today. House version CS for House Bill Number 75, Jude amended, and Senate version second Senate CS for House Bill Number 75, Rules. At this time, we'll consider adopting the House and Senate versions of the bill. Can I have a motion on the House bill?
Madam Chair, I move that the conference committee adopt the House version of HB 75.
The motion before the committee is the adoption of the House version 29LS0345/U.A or CS for brief at ease. We're back on the record. The motion before the committee is the adoption of the House version 29LS0345/U.A or CS for House Bill 75, Judiciary as amended. I will ask for a roll call vote on the adoption of the House version.
Representative Millett?
Yes.
Representative Drummond?
Yes.
Chair Tilton?
Yes.
3 yay, 0 nay. Senator McGuire?
No.
Senator Hoffman?
No.
Chair Bishop?
No.
0 yay, 3 nay.
By a vote of 3-3, the conference committee has failed to adopt the House version.
Yep. I move the conference committee adopted the Senate version of the bill. The motion before the committee is the adoption of the Senate version 29LS0345/AA or second Senate CS for House Bill Number 75RLS.
Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Representative Millett?
No.
Representative Drummond?
No.
Chair Tilton?
No.
0 yay, 3 nay. Senator McGuire?
Yes.
Senator Hoffman?
Having received 18-2 votes, I vote yes.
Chair Bishop?
Yes.
3 yay, 0 nay.
I vote of 3. Oh, this would be you on your side, I guess.
Brief at ease.
Back on the record.
At this time, the House does not agree with the following provisions of the second Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 75RLS.
So, we have failed to move both the House version and the Senate version of HB 75 at this time. I would entertain discussion on the bills that we have and the what we have before us. Yes, Representative, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, Senator McGuire.
Senator, I'm sorry. Sorry, I apologize.
Okay.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you, Madam Chair, through the chair. So just discussion on the two. So for the public that's listening and those here in the room, so the record is clear, we're in a conference committee on the matter of House Bill number 75. The Senate failed to agree with the House's version. The House has failed to agree with the Senate's version. And prior to us making a formal motion to adopt a committee substitute, I believe it's the chair's wishes to take a recess to the call of the chair and have some time for discussion among members in the individual bodies trying to come toward a consensus. Of course, we're under limited powers at this moment, so it has to be one or the other, and it has to be a majority of each side. Failing to concur would bring us to free conference, powers of free conference, should they be granted. But just on the record, I think where we're centering around at this moment is the issue of the opt-in, opt-out provisions for unorganized boroughs in the state of Alaska. And I just want to put on the record that, so in the original version of the bill, there was no delineation between unorganized boroughs and organized boroughs. The initiative governed, meaning that in order for a community to decide to go ahead and issue marijuana licenses, they would have to follow, they would have to come together, organize, and decide to put out for public comment the notion of issuing marijuana licenses, get that public feedback, and then go through the process as outlined in the initiative and then the regulations that the Marijuana Control Board has currently put into effect. There are some communities that have opted out. There are some communities that have opted in. And the proposal from the senator to my right, who I know will speak to it, was that the legislature act as an assembly of the whole, which is allowed under the Constitution and under the Alaska statutes. For unorganized boroughs, we can sit as an assembly of the whole and decide what the rule would be. Some people's view is that either way, there'll be a dialogue at the local level, the unorganized borough level, such that if you want to issue licenses, you'd have to go to the elders. You'd have to have those conversations anyway. I've leaned that direction. Senator Hoffman knows that. That said, Senator Hoffman made some points on the record that compelled other members of the Senate. The vote was 18-2, that he would prefer to be the other way, that the conversation occur among the members of the communities first, that the elders lead that discussion, and then that they decide to opt in should they want to. So there's kind of the reverse pressure. My concern about all of it is I don't mean to diminish the concern. One, I tend to defer to people in their individual communities for what they want, and that has always been my preference. In this case, it appears the House and the Senate may be divided, and I'd like to hear a little more discussion from your side on it. If the House and the Senate can come together on this matter in the rural areas, the unorganized boroughs, I think we should agree as a conference committee and go back and zealously advocate to our colleagues to adopt that version. If they cannot agree, then I'd like to propose that we go to free powers and that I be allowed to put together some kind of a more narrow set of requirements acting as the assembly of the whole that require those unorganized boroughs to go through additional steps such that the senator to my right is comfortable. So I'd like us to find a way out because this bill is important for a variety of reasons. There are provisions in here that are very important, but the most important is the background checks. And I want to acknowledge on the record that when I passed the bill last year that set up the licensing structure via the board, we had a lot intense negotiation, and it was a really good bill. Unfortunately, we put it alongside the Alcohol Beverage Control Board and under that rubric, and it was my understanding that the licenses would be issued the same way that you issue alcohol licenses. And, of course, they are subject to background checks because we prohibited felons from having marijuana licenses the same as we did alcohol licenses. There are dueling legal opinions right now. One theory is that, we actually have to put into statute a requirement to authorize for the Department of Community and Economic Development to authorize the Department of Public Safety to conduct background checks. That's the reason for that provision in the Senate committee substitute for Senate Bill or for House Bill 75. But there's another opinion that says, look, you don't have to have that specific authority. It's assumed and implied. So, but right now, I can tell you in my community, in Anchorage, population 300,000 approximately, all of those business owners that have applied for licenses are in a holding period. They're waiting literally on the passage of this provision because the board itself has decided that they don't feel comfortable relying on the legal opinion. So I would just ask us to consider in our negotiations that we not allow that provision to fail and some of the other provisions in House Bill 75 that are important and try to negotiate on this opt-in, opt-out provision.
Madam Chair. Representative Millett.
Thank you. So as I see it, the two sticking points, and I'm not sure if they're super hard over one of them on the plant number and then the opt-in, opt-out. I too want to see resolution, but at this point in time, if we can't come to a resolution, the bill obviously fails, and okay. you're back to square one. So there are some provisions in here I think that we can agree on, and if we can't get to an agreement on the local control option, I would hope that the Senate would consider removing that from the bill so the good portion of the bill that could go forward would go forward in a case where you know, we bit off more than we could chew. We don't have the capacity to do it. I would hope that the good work that both the House and the Senate did on this bill could go forward and it doesn't die because of one issue in one area. Absent of that provision, it goes back to what exists now, that we are silent on that issue. But there are some really great issues in this bill, and there's a lot of work done. So I hope that we won't fail the good work based on one provision that we can't come to agreement on. And my wish, if we can't get to an agreement, would be to strip that portion out and let the bill go forward and take it to our bodies and at least have a portion of the good work that was done codified this year so we don't, A, leave communities hanging that have spent a lot of time on our side of the body working really hard with our chairman here to put out a good work product. There was a lot of time and effort put in, and appreciate the last-minute effort to speak and have a voice on the local option, but I just don't feel like we should let good work go to waste because we can't agree on that. So,
Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, too, am not interested in killing the legislation. I don't want to see this become another hairy crab. There are a lot of good intentions, but at the end of the day, the hairy crab won. So, with that said, I've talked to both of my representatives and several people in rural Alaska, and they feel that the provision that is in there does not restrict those communities from having marijuana. Marijuana law is going to be the law of the land. And I think rural Alaska knows and accepts that. What we've done in the Senate, as my colleague to the left of me had stated, is that we exercised our option as the Assembly for the Unorganized Bureau, and we've all opted out. And if those communities want to have the dialogue, they can have the dialogue with their elders at the table. And the dialogue is to say whether or not we want to participate in that activity, which did not happen with alcohol. And as a result of that, there was a lot of turmoil in communities and a lot of suffering that happened. And if the issue of opting into alcohol was provided, rural Alaska would have foregone a lot of problems. We don't expect urban Alaska to go down that path. We understand that they're never going to have a dry community on alcohol. but they're not living the rural life, and rural Alaskans have opted out quite consistently on alcohol because of the problems that it provides, and rightfully so. But we could have foregone a lot of problems if that were the case for alcohol. I don't want to see that same problem exist for marijuana. They can go ahead and do it, but they should be able to discuss it and have the merits of pros and cons, and not put rural Alaska through the same pain and suffering on marijuana that they did with alcohol. I don't believe, I strongly believe that we would have been years ahead on addressing alcohol and alcohol abuse in rural Alaska if that were the case. And I don't believe that this provision is asking very much of the House. It is a rural issue, and I think everybody at this conference committee would agree that it is a rural issue. But we believe that with the problems that we've experienced on alcohol and had to suffer through that and see people die, kill themselves, have all the abuses, I'm not saying that that's going to be the same results, but why should we force rural Alaska into something that I've discussed with my two representatives, and initially they agreed with the House position. They've reversed their position. So rural Alaska is, I believe, is unique when it comes to alcohol abuse, and to many drugs that were not a part of their society. So it's not, I don't believe it's a big ask. Just allow us to do what we want to do, and don't make the same mistakes saying, we know what's best for rural Alaska. Let's give them the benefit of the doubt and say that maybe they should be the ones to decide.
Thank you, Senator Hoffman. When we crafted HB 75, we did it in the initial CRE version. When the bill first started, we crafted it by holding meetings throughout the state and listening to the voices of the different mayors and different communities. And it really started out as a fix-it bill. How do we deal with this new initiative? What are we going to do with it? Because that we noticed that there was a lot of the municipalities and communities were flailing around trying to figure out, are they opting in, are they opting out, maybe prematurely. They just didn't know what to do. So we crafted HB 75 by listening to the communities. We opened it up. We had a lot of public testimony. We listened to the issues, and we looked at the issues that we found were repeated over and over again. And we crafted 75 with, alongside the Marijuana Policy Project and the local communities that we chose to participate, and we did do a lot of outreach to try to get as many communities throughout Alaska. I believe the North Slope Bureau did participate, the Anchorage Municipality participated, the Matsu Bureau participated. We had some people that did come in person. So our goal when we crafted HB 75 was to try to address those concerns throughout the state, as well as trying to stay as true to the initiative as was possible, which was to regulate marijuana like alcohol. And I do hear what you're saying, Senator Hoffman. This is not saying anything against what you're saying. I do hear what you're saying. But from our position, that is how we crafted the option. It did mirrors Title IV. That was our goal, was to try to address the concerns throughout the state and try to draft it as closely as possible to the initiative. So, Senator Hoffman?
And I agree, but Title IV was flawed in that it still started out with those communities wet, and they had to go through all that pain and suffering to opt out. So, though Title IV was wrong, Title IV should have had the opt-in provision as well that did not put rural communities through a process of suffering and killing and violence, and that is a major, major flaw in Title IV. Mm-hmm. So to say Title IV, you follow Title IV, and Title IV is the complete solution to alcohol. It was not the complete solution to alcohol. And as a result of that, you can see the number of villages that have opted out. And they would have never had to go through all that suffering and pain if Title IV was flipped. Mm-hmm. How many dry communities do we have today? They would have been dry all of that time if they had this provision in there. And I know that Title IV was wrong. And I don't want to put the communities through the same flaws that existed in Title IV for alcohol with marijuana. You know, and I don't believe that when you were going through the process in the public hearings throughout rural Alaska, or any part of Alaska, that the option of opting in was even offered. That option and that dialogue came after your public hearing process, so it was not an issue that was broached during that whole process. It came much, much later after those hearings were closed. And if we went back and asked again and said, is this something that you would prefer, knowing what happened to your communities on alcohol and alcohol abuse, where you had to go through all the pain and suffering, and do you want to do the same thing for marijuana? And I don't believe that they're the same and going to cause the same types of problems, but you can't convince me that Title IV was perfect for rural Alaska. It was devastating.
Senator McGuire.
Thank you. I just wanted to suggest, as we, because I know we all have things to do today, that if we take a recess to the call of the chair, that part of what we could use as a tool to continue the dialogue would be a list of the unorganized boroughs, so that we have an opportunity, all of us, to sort of wrap our heads around. I sort of know which ones they are, but so that members of the committee can see what who are the unorganized boroughs. And I think it might also be helpful, Madam Chair, to see which have opted to become dry as well, just so that we have background information when we come back to make the vote.
And I agree with you, but I, you know, we don't know what our schedules are. I would rather recess so we can all think about this.
Yes,
and maybe during the meantime we could come to some consensus and move forward, because my intentions are to pass the bill, but don't have rural Alaska be forced to go through a process that was flawed on alcohol again. Let's have learned from our mistakes, and let's correct them, because we have that opportunity today, and it's for rural Alaska's sake. I'm not asking you people what to do in urban Alaska. Go do what you want to do, but please let us not make the same mistakes in rural Alaska as we did in Title IV on alcohol.
Representative Drummond.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate all the obvious emotion and concern here, but what is different about marijuana is that it's already legal for personal use and personal growing within the home. And I know in Spinard, which I predicted a long time ago would have already has more alcohol operations per square inch than any other part of the state. It has more marijuana license applications than any other part of the state. It's just the nature of my community. however, it's expensive to begin a marijuana business. There are numerous license applications that I've seen in the Anchorage Press, which is the weekly entertainment paper. So the process is moving forward in Anchorage. The community is dealing with it. It's going to happen. But my perspective on what could happen in the unorganized borough and remote communities, it's going to be very difficult for a marijuana business to get established anyway, because of distance, because of transportation issues, because of testing. It's going to be difficult to do. But at the same time, I think that you want to consider how are you going to deal with the black market, which already exists in many communities. We know it exists, especially when people are at have the liberty to grow their own and consume their own because of this initiative throughout the state. Nothing that we do here is going to change that. So I would hope that you would consider the fact that once you see the list of these communities, consider what it would take for a marijuana business to establish itself. Just talking about a retail business, they would have to acquire the product from a grow operation. I doubt that anybody's going to establish a grow operation in a community of 200 people. And then try to figure out how to get the testing done, because the testing is very expensive and there's going to be very few companies that will offer the testing, and transportation is a big issue. And in essence, what I'm saying is that I don't think that opting out will be an issue because of the difficulty of establishing a marijuana business anywhere. It's difficult to do in Spinard. It's expensive. I cannot imagine that there are going to be very many businesses trying to establish themselves. But what I think you need to consider is how are you going to deal with the black market no matter what happens in the meantime until these businesses get established. And as we approach the two-year mark from the initiative, I would have some concerns about getting in the way of business to be established. They're going to find out, and they already know, that it's going to be tough to do and expensive to do. I predict that there will be not many businesses seeking to establish themselves in rural communities. Of course, they have every right to have a discussion about that, but at the same time, you've got personal use that you're going to have to figure out how to deal with.
And to respond to that,
Senator Hoffman.
Those are the exact issues that need to, and dialogues that need to take place at the local level, you know, and that's all we're asking. Why can't we have those discussions in our community on black markets, on the expenses and everything else, when we know how wrong Title IV was on alcohol? Just give us the opportunity to have that debate. You raise important social issues, but let the elders participate in that instead of having to go through the whole process and then opt out. That's all we're asking. I mean, why can't you just say, oh, okay, rural Alaska, you know, we'll acknowledge we made a big, huge mistake on Title IV and alcohol, and we're going to give you the benefit of the doubt this time, because I think we're going to trust you this time to do what was the right thing. We put you through a lot of pain and had to have the dialogues and had deaths and everything else with alcohol before all those communities had a vote to opt out.
Representative Drummond, did you?
Actually, what I wanted to say is that in urban communities, we have community councils that are being pulled into the process. Community councils are dealing with the applications first. Before the city actually does. So these conversations are happening in urban communities as well.
Glad for that.
Okay, at this time, I'd like to thank the conferees. We have some information that we will pull together, and I would like to recess to the call of the chair. Thank you.